Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Matt Piper. A second person has now died after a shooting during a church service in Grand Blanc, Michigan. Tony Deck lives nearby.
Not that you want it to happen, but you'd think it would happen in some of these other cities, that this kind of thing happens overseas or in major cities and development and stuff like that. But in Grand Blanc, it's a small golf community.
Police Chief William Rennie says the suspect, a 40-year-old man, drove his vehicle through the front doors of the Mormon church, got out, and fired several rounds of an assault rifle at hundreds of churchgoers.
We believe that was deliberately set by the suspect. We do believe that we will find additional victims once we have that scene secure.
Eight other people were hurt. The suspect is dead. Now to North Carolina, where someone opened fire from a boat into a crowd at American Fish Company, which is a waterfront bar and restaurant along the Cape Fear River. Three were killed, another five injured in this. Brunswick County District Attorney John David.
Evil has come ashore in Southport, North Carolina.
The shooter fled by boat, but was later arrested. Tropical storm Imelda has formed in the western Atlantic and is forecast to strengthen over the next few days, bringing the threat of torrential rainfall to portions of the southeastern United States in the coming hours. CBS News meteorologist David Parkinson.
We now officially have tropical storm Imelda, and the impacts of Imelda will begin to be felt in Florida as early as tomorrow. Already tropical storm warnings up along the coast and tropical storm watches extending just a bit inland.
President Trump is set to meet tomorrow with Senate leaders John Thune and Chuck Schumer and House leaders Mike Johnson and Hakeem Jeffries. It's over a possible government shutdown this week. Our Robert Costa spoke to Trump this morning.
Inside the White House, sources are saying President Trump actually welcomes a shutdown in the sense that he believes he can wield executive power to get rid of what he calls waste, fraud, and abuse. And there is that memo that says the government is ready to have mass firings if a deal isn't struck.
New York City Mayor Eric Adams is dropping his bid for re-election. He posted the news to social media.
Whoever follows me at City Hall must continue the work we started. Lowering the cost of living, investing in quality of life, and staying laser focused on reducing crime and disorder.
Most polls showed him with a single-digit support. President Trump's Department of Justice directed federal prosecutors in New York to dismiss their federal bribery case against Adams earlier this year. Prior to him dropping out, sources told CBS News that the White House was looking into possible government positions to persuade him to exit the race. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. It's National Farm Safety and Health Week. Farmers and ag workers are actually in one of the most dangerous industries in America, and it can even be hard on their mental health. Some statistics show the nation loses a farmer a day to suicide. Here's Eric Tegedoff.
The U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics data from 2021 to 2023 found farming, fishing, and forestry occupations had the most injuries per capita of any profession. Cynthia Curl is the director of Boise State University's Curl Agricultural Health Lab. She says there are many dangers in agricultural work that we might associate with other professions like construction, such as the use of heavy machinery.
There are also unique hazards to farm work like pesticides, livestock, different kinds of diseases for people that are working in animal production. And then there's all of those kinds of weather challenges that also face construction workers, like extreme heat.
The National Education Center for Agricultural Safety leads the recognition of National Farm Safety and Health Week in September as the busy fall harvest nears. The theme this year is Safety First, Avoid the Worst. People have drowned in manure ponds of large dairy farms in the winter.
They can ice over or get covered in a little snow and not be obvious where they are. And people have driven machinery seemingly across a field, but actually into a manure pond. That's happened a couple of times in the past decade.
She also points to safety training from organizations like the Pacific Northwest Agricultural Safety and Health Center to help make the industry less dangerous for workers. I'm Eric Tegedoff. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
WAUK, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation, and home to the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, mostly clear, lows around 59. Sunshine, mid-70s for Monday. Clear Monday night, a low of 61. Sunny, 74 on your Tuesday. For Wednesday, partly sunny, highs near 70. Thursday, mostly sunny, 69. Currently, 75 degrees.
Pete Schwaba. On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian Mike Lucas and director, producer, and founder of Wisconsinology.com, Frank Anderson. Thank God it's Monday. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin.
For all of Wisconsin.
Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Welcome back to the second hour of the Civic Media Spotlight. We kick things off with the Todd Alba Show. Filmmakers Sean Hainish and Paul Jaconi Berry of Just a Bit Outside join us for their first media appearance promoting their latest film project. The name is No Packers, No Life, which is about a group of diehard Packer fans in Tokyo who made their way to Lambeau.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 35 minutes now past the hour of 3 o'clock on Monday, September 22nd, 2025. Wisconsin's, I would say, over. I mean, the Brewers. But you got some nasty Twins fans up there in northwest Wisconsin. You got some salty Cubs fans in southern Wisconsin. But overall, I guess you got a few of those horned people over in Minnesota. But overall, I mean, what's more of a Wisconsin team than the Green Bay Packers? We're going to talk about that next. But let me clearly, for the lawyers on the 12th floor, separate and remind you, completely separate from what we're going to talk about right now, we have the Civic Media Green and Gold Text to Win Contest. You can win $200 cash prize and gold jewelry and two club-level indoor seats to Green Bay versus Minnesota and a home game in Green Bay on November 23rd at high noon. Text the word SCORE right now on the Civic Media app. S-C-O-R-E. SCORE is the word to text. You have until 4 o'clock to do it. To win cash and gold and be eligible for the grand prize at a football game of a professional team that has their headquarters in Green Bay. It is a multi-state contest. Now, completely separate from that discussion, let's talk about the Packers. Joining us, our old friends via StreamYard from the movie Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers. That's a whole other bottle of Miller High Life. Sean Hainish and Paul Jaconi Berry of the new film, No Packers, No Life. Guys, how you doing?
Doing great, Todd. Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, thanks, Todd. Really excited to be here.
Well, I happened to see Sean happened to be in town for another project, and he was so kind by threat of verbal NDA, and I'll never speak to you again. He showed me a little clip of the film, and I was instantly in love. And tell us, guys, how did you come to find this film?
Well, yeah, you know, Todd, we had this amazing success last fall with Just a Bit Outside, thanks to you, your listeners, and all the fans around the state of Wisconsin. That film did really, really well in theaters. And so we were doing an encore screening of it in Madison at the Wisconsin Film Festival this spring. Mm. And lo and behold, I saw in the program a movie called No Packers, No Life. And I was like, well, that sounds about the Japanese Packers fans. And I was like, well, that sounds interesting. So I went to see it. And it was a sold out show there at the Barrymore in Madison. Mm. And it was raucous. People loved this movie. So what we did is, you know, I showed it. I got a link to share with our team, including Paul. And we all thought it was such a joyful expression of what it means to be a Green Bay Packers fan that, you know, we can get into the story in a minute. But we were like, maybe we can do the same thing with Just a Bit Out, or with No Packers, No Life, that we did with Just a Bit Outside. And fortunately, our good friends at Marcus Theaters agreed. And they are they're opening No Packers, No Life, this wonderful, joyful documentary about the Japanese Packers cheering squad, on October 17th statewide, which is amazing.
I can't wait. And Paul, tell us a little bit about the premise of this story. Because when I first, Packers cheerleaders, I'm like, there's a group of, like, you know, young people in skirts and pom-pons. No. Tell us this, where this came from, Paul.
Absolutely. So Ty Morse, who is a businessman over there in Wisconsin, he does a lot of business in East Asia. And he was walking through Shibuya, which is the big intersection in Tokyo, and happened to see a Japanese person walk by wearing a Packers jersey and was like, what's going on here? So he very quietly said, "Go Pack, go." And the guy turned around and said, "Go Pack, go." And then he said, "Go Pack, go." And then he said, "Go Pack, go." So then this guy said, "Hey, come here. I want to show you something." Takes him up through these alleys and into a karaoke bar upstairs in the middle of this huge building. And there is the Japanese Packers cheering squad. So it's four dozen Japanese people who, for various reasons, have become super fans of the Green Bay Packers. Mm-hmm. And they show up at 2 a.m. on a Monday morning because of the time difference and watch games and cheer on their favorite team. And so Ty said, "You know, this is so incredible. I have to bring them to Green Bay to watch a game." So this film follows that entire story. And it's really, you know, Sean put it best. It's joyful. And it is such a celebration of how the things we love, in this case, you know, the team that we love, the Green Bay Packers, brings people together from across the world. So it's just, it is laughs and smiles from beginning to end. And we could not be more excited to be sharing this with the statewide in Wisconsin, you know, thanks to our friends at Marcus Theaters. So we're just thrilled.
And you nailed it, I think, Paul. I know Sean, you and I talked about this. It's a crazy world out there right now. And there's so much divisiveness out there. And boy, anything that can bring us together as Wisconsinites, as Americans, I'm all for. And by the way, Zomers, keep me honest. I talked to you after I talked to Sean. Did I say anything about our conversation that would give anything away?
You said a Wisconsin sports film. Sorry, I can't say more yet. You know, no,
so I kept my word. So now
that's impressive, Todd. Thank you.
Because I was excited, as Sean knows. But now it's okay. We can show the trailer, correct?
Yes.
All right.
Please do.
So here from Sean Hannish and Paul Jaconi Berry is a trailer for No Packers, No Life.
We're wandering Tokyo and I see a guy with a Packers jersey on. And I'm like, no way. I just quietly say, "Go back, go." And he shouts back, "Go back, go." The Japanese Packer cheering team.
Packers number one.
All the Packers, no right.
Insanely passionate to a degree which probably most people from Wisconsin aren't.
Wisconsin!
I said, "You guys are welcome to come to a Packer game anytime."
I couldn't believe that.
Why? And who are you?
The Green Bay way is to host, and we say, "Okay, come with us. We'll show you a good time."
We want them to experience the Green Bay way.
This is Green Bay!
Wisconsin is huge. The one team in the NFL that's owned by the people.
It gives people a connection that no other team offers.
No Packers, no life.
No Packers, no life. Only at Marcus Theaters on October 17th. We have the filmmakers joining us live via StreamYard. The great Sean Hannish and the great Paul Jaconi Berry. Guys, just like with A Bit Outside, when Sean showed it to me on Friday, and now I'm seeing it just does something to you as a Wisconsinite, Sean.
Well, I think it does because, you know, as Wisconsinites, we kind of, you know, on our sleeve is our heart is on our sleeve, and we say, "Please come visit us. We're a lot of fun." And so, you know, I love what they say, and it's in the trailer there. All of Ty and his friends, Jada Merritt and Brandon, were like, "We want to show them the Green Bay way," which is essentially the Wisconsin hospitality. And I mean, a lot of these people who are born and raised in Tokyo had never been to the States before. Mm-hmm. And imagine their first stop is Green Bay, Wisconsin. Right. And they get immersed in this community with these wonderful people, both wonderful visitors and wonderful hosts, and that they shared a lot more in common than you would imagine. I mean, they compared Green Bay to one of the tourist vacation destinations outside of Tokyo. Mm-hmm. So there was a real around being a fan of the Green Bay Packers. True lifelong friendships developed. And I think you find that whenever you go anywhere outside of Wisconsin, certainly here in Los Angeles, or when I've been in France and Paris, I've been to Woe's Bar. Every city around the world seems to have a Packer bar and have a Packer following. So this is kind of like just taking, like dipping our toe into what it's like in Tokyo for these folks. And really what they, in a way, it holds a mirror up to us as Wisconsinites and as Packer fans. And kind of shows us, you know, what we have is really special with the Packers, and people around the world appreciate it.
And time now for my obligatory plug for the great underground sports pub in Hermosa Beach, owned by our friend Kelly Call. When you're in the greater Los Angeles area and you want to take in a Packer game, make sure you go to the underground pub in Hermosa Beach. I've been there. The steak sandwich is fantastic.
You're right. It's the best Packer bar in Los Angeles.
It is. It really is. Paul, talk to it. You guys probably know me. Packers had a rough game. It's been a rough day for Packer fans in Wisconsin today. Just a weird game, losing 13-10 yesterday to the Browns. But Zomer and I were talking before the show, and Paul, talk a little bit about this. I think, and I've always seen the trailer, but to me, anytime that we can see something that we might take for granted through the lens of someone else, it makes you appreciate what this team means to the state.
Well, I mean, you hit the nail on the head there for me. Before we made Just a Bit Outside, I had never set foot in Wisconsin. And the welcome that I received over the course of making that film, I mean, subsequently, I've been to Wisconsin more than anywhere else in the country. And the welcome and the hospitality and just the joy and heart of the people of Wisconsin has stuck with me, right? And so when we saw this film, that is really about that. I feel like an adoptive son of Wisconsin. I'm going to put that on my driver's license, adopted by Wisconsin.
Of course.
Because it is just such a welcoming, warm place filled with joy. And you have so many great things there. And people don't necessarily recognize it until they really come and see what the state has to offer. I mean, yes, Green Bay Packers. Everyone knows the Green Bay Packers. But not until you actually go to Lambeau. Not until you actually experience it in person, as I did just earlier this year for the first time, mm-hmm. did it click for me. And it really is. This movie is such a love letter to the Wisconsin way. It is such a love letter to the people of Wisconsin. And I am beyond delighted to be able to share this with the people of Wisconsin so they can, you know, as Sean said, a mirror reflected back to them. They can see just how important and how special of a place they live in. So.
Sean, about a minute and a half before the first break here, but talk to us in the minute and a half here up to that a little bit about how, again, you guys kind of took your experience from Just a Bit Outside, and is it fair to say maybe cleaned up and sweetened some of the visuals and some of the sound to kind of get it ready for greater distribution for the original? Is that fair to say or not?
Oh, I think it's fair to say we took what we learned, yes, mm-hmm. from Just a Bit Outside, both the marketing and distribution, but also in, you know, just the storytelling arena of like, what do people expect when they go to the theater? And, you know, we shared that with the filmmakers, Craig Benzine, the director, and Ty Morris, the producer, and they were incredibly amenable. In fact, they had been watching Just a Bit Outside and had seen the film and were like, we kind of want to do what those guys did. And, you know, through an incredible stroke of luck, we met them back there at the Wisconsin Film Festival. And that's the path they're following. I mean, the film is, it's 90 minutes of pure joy. And it's worth, just like Just a Bit Outside was worth wearing your jersey to, wear your Packer jersey, come early, have a couple of beers, you know, tailgate, and get ready for an incredible joyride. That's what the movie is.
It is in Marcus Theaters starting on October 17th. We'll come back and talk more about this great film, No Packers, No Life, with Sean Hannish and Paul Jaconi Berry after this on the Civic Media Ready Network.
I think it's time, Terry, that the Lombardi Trophy goes home to Lambeau Field where it belongs.
The Todd Alba Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday afternoons from 2 until 4. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation. 540 WAUK.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on 540 WAUK. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize.
$200 cash and gold jewelry.
And be entered to win our grand prize.
Two indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota.
Download our free Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. Complete rules at civicmedia.us. Sponsored in part by Pickleball Kingdom, a half mile north of Silver Spring off Pilgrim, Menominee Falls.
The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965, following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Up next on the Civic Media Spotlight, we have WXEO Morning Report. Chet Holmes sits down with Quinn Suhan of Marathon County Literacy Council about what services they provide and about an upcoming adult spelling bee they are hosting.
One time I lost a spelling bee because the word I had to spell was a finance and I messed up.
Oh, jeez.
And my dad still holds that over me.
Well, Ian, you have a chance to get redemption now, because as adults, we have a chance to be part of a spelling bee, an adult spelling bee with the Marathon County Literacy Council coming up on Tuesday, October the 7th. And to learn more about it, we're very happy to welcome Quinn Suhan. She's the business manager for the Marathon County Literacy Council. And this is really exciting stuff. But good morning. Glad you could come on by.
Absolutely. Good morning. And I'm very happy to have this opportunity.
First of all, before we even talk about the spelling bee itself, the Marathon County Literacy Council, for folks who may not be familiar, could you give us a little information on that?
Absolutely. We are what I consider Marathon County's best kept secret. I've only been with them for about a week now, but I am loving
a week,
and I'm loving every second of it. I actually messaged my boyfriend one day and was like, I really love my new job.
Isn't that wonderful?
It's so great to love what you do. I do have some history, some background in teaching myself, so a part of this is coming home. At the Literacy Council, we really put an emphasis on that adult learning. You know, one out of seven adults in Marathon County struggle with literacy. As a teacher, as someone who grew up with, my mom was actually one of the reporters for the Wisconsin Rapids Daily Tribune. So every single one of my papers was gone over with the utmost scrutiny to make sure that the spelling, grammar, punctuation, everything was on point.
Oh,
so
wonderful.
Just having that background, again, it just really feels like I'm coming home in some kind of aspect there. But at the Literacy Council, we do help with that tutoring. If you need help with reading, writing, studying for your driver's license test, if you need help with building a resume, resume, getting those job skills, that's what we're here to help with. Mm. You know, we do recognize that there is a niche for this, that there is a need for it. Mm-hmm. And we really just want to get our name out there more, really let people know that A, we provide this service, and B, it's all for free. Mm. Every single one of our services we provide to anybody in the community for free. You can call us and make an appointment. You can just walk in off the street. We're open 9 to 4, Monday through Friday. And
again, where are you located, by the way?
We are located right downtown next to Yankee Bookstore.
Oh, just down the road here.
Just down the road. Yep. We're kind of, I think a lot of people think we're part of Yankee just because, of course, we have the McLit sign out there. Sure. And it does have a picture of a book. And I think a lot of people just kind of assume we're an additional entity to Yankee. Mm-hmm. But we are completely separate, and we are here to help you and anybody.
What kind of programs are, maybe some examples of programs that you do offer for folks here in central Wisconsin?
Again, we don't really have like a specific, like you come in and we're going to help with ABC only.
Oh, okay.
If you want to come in and study for any kind of exam that you have coming up, if you wanted to go back to school and be a lawyer, a doctor, oh, wow, a whatever, and you're struggling with something, come on in and we can help you
so
with whatever it is.
Basically, yeah, if you have any idea that maybe this is some area I want to get stronger in.
Yes.
You're willing to work with them.
Especially when it comes to language. We do have a big emphasis on ESL, so English as a second language. But on the flip side of that, most people don't even realize that we'll help you with your Spanish as well. So we will flip that. Come on in and you can get some lessons.
Fantastic. Really interesting stuff. And I have to admit, even just down the street here, I really did not know that. In your first week, and you've been you popped by last week to say hello and to provide the information about the adult spelling bees. Very, very cool indeed. We're talking to Quinn Suhan from the Marathon County Literacy Council. And coming up on Tuesday, October the 7th, let's get into this event because it sounds like it could be a lot of fun, a lot of coolness to it. It's an adult spelling bee.
Yes.
And it's raising money to be a hive builder for literacy and BEE. That's very, very cool indeed.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about what this event's all about and maybe what people need to know.
The McLee Bee Benefit, that's definitely a mouthful, is an evening of unforgettable fun that's really just going to heighten the community awareness and share our impact and help increase the understanding of the vital role that adult education really can play and literacy can play in our community. We truly believe that the learning process never stops. An adult spelling bee is really going to help demonstrate that beautifully. Again, like you mentioned, it really is a great way to help raise money and promote that literacy, bringing together a diverse audience. It is going to be on Tuesday, October 7th at the Labor Temple from 6 to 8 p.m. It is advertised as an adult spelling bee, but it is a family-friendly event. So
the kids want to be involved, they can do it as well?
Absolutely. And that's kind of what we want to promote as well. Show the kids that the adults are still learning, still working towards making themselves better as well. I think a lot of kids get the impression that the learning stops when you become an adult, and I'm sure you can agree that is the exact opposite. We are always continuing to learn and improve ourselves, and this is a great way to show that too.
I think, Ian, maybe you and I may have to pop on over there and do a head-to-head here so you can go deeper into this thing.
I think so as well. I think it'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah. You know, boys, you guys can help come and contribute to the event. We have a silent auction. So if anybody out there, the public or businesses, really wanted to contribute, you can contribute to our silent auction. You can sponsor a team for $100. Oh, so wow. If you two wanted to be a team, you can totally join. You can volunteer to help at the event on the 7th, or you can just buy a ticket to the Bee, come out and enjoy a night of spelling, pizza, non-alcoholic beverage, and of course, a lot of fun.
Fantastic. And to get more information, maybe, because I mean we've gone through a lot of things here this morning, you can get information on your website, I imagine, correct?
Yes.
What is the website?
McLitOfWausau.org. Otherwise, you can find us on Facebook under the same handle.
Fantastic. So McLitOfWausau.org, and then get more on this event and other events / events as well. And also, I imagine, just stop on by here downtown.
Absolutely. Like I said, we are open 9 to 4. Walk-ins are always welcome.
Fantastic. Should be a lot of fun. Tuesday, October the 7th, really for a great cause, but a lot of fun as well. The Marathon County Literacy Council Adult Spelling Bee. Oh, and it'll be held at the Labor Temple in Wausau, correct?
Yes.
So at the Labor Temple, just to again, here in Wausau, 6 to 8 p.m. on Tuesday, October 7th. So again, get more information, McLitOfWausau.org for the Marathon County Literacy Council. Quinn Suhan, great to have you on board and great for your new job. And again, as you continue, I'd love to have you back and talk about other events.
Oh, absolutely. I got plenty of ideas and plenty in store, so I would love to revisit and get people more involved.
Top of the hour news update is coming up. We'll be back with another WXCO morning report at 8:22 included will be our number for the day quiz with Ian. But up next, it's a top of the hour news update, news, weather, and sports, and then more of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow here on 98.9 WXCO.
The Chad Holmes Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WXCO weekday mornings from 8 until 10. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
CBS News Brief. In Grand Blanc, Michigan, two people are dead, several others hurt after a shooting at a Mormon church. The church also went up in flames. Police Chief William Rennie.
Seven other victims at this time are in stable condition. One is in critical condition.
He says the shooter has been identified as 40-year-old Thomas Sanford. A suspect is charged in Southport, North Carolina, of opening fire on a crowded restaurant from his boat. Three people were killed, five others injured. Brunswick County District Attorney John David.
Sadly, a lot of the victims in this case appear to be not members of our community, but people who are here on vacation.
President Trump says a government shutdown is likely unless top Democrats back down from their negotiating position. He's set to meet with some of them tomorrow. House Speaker Mike Johnson on CNN.
He wants to bring in the leaders to come in and act like leaders and do the right thing for the American people.
Just in, Europe wins the Ryder Cup. CBS News Brief, I'm Matt Piper.
The Packers on Sunday Night Football. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports in Dallas, where the Packers are playing the Cowboys tonight. Green Bay began the season with convincing wins over the Lions and Commanders, but lost last week in Cleveland to a Browns team that hadn't won a game since last November. I spoke to Packers tight end Tucker Kraft about the start of their season so far.
You know, we did great week one, week two, coming out, trying to put points on the board. We just got to stick to that. It doesn't matter if we're home or away. We're going to come out on the first drive and try to get points on the board. That is just the demand of our offense. The defense needs us to play like that so we can play complimentary to them. They hold the team to 13 points in the fourth quarter. It was 10-0 up until the fourth quarter. That's remarkable. Not a lot of defenses are doing that. We have the best defense in the NFL, so we have to help them out.
That's Packers tight end Tucker Kraft with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The president has tons of critics in or out of the entertainment business, but none have been as harsh as Bruce Springsteen. The boss has written about blue-collar America for most of his career and professed his love for his country in a recent interview with Time magazine. Springsteen hit the president pretty hard during his tour last spring. The boss does not seem intimidated, even though the president has him by 3 years, about 150 pounds, and is beating him in bankruptcies, 6-0. Not to mention he is also leading when it comes to telling someone not to certify election results. Be that as it may, the boss has a lot more kick-butt tunes. All the president could come up with in response to Springsteen's harsh criticism was, "He's dumb as a rock." This from the guy who can't pronounce acetaminophen. In the interview with Time, Springsteen probably realized he couldn't match wits and just said he couldn't care less what the president thinks. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, mostly clear, lows around 59. Sunshine, mid-70s for Monday. Clear Monday night, a low of 61. Sunny, 74 on your Tuesday. For Wednesday, partly sunny, highs near 70. Thursday, mostly sunny, 69.
Right now, it's 74.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
She's a broadcasting legend in Wisconsin, and we're lucky enough to have her here at Civic Media. We start our new segment. Jane Matinere joins us for Matinere Mondays. Next time, join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Next up, we have the Matinere on Air show. Jane and Greg talk with Dr. Kristen Lierley, who joins the show to talk about all the recent press conference from President Trump regarding Tylenol and the unsubstantiated claim of its link to autism taken by pregnant folks.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinere on Air. Jane Matinere, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Before we get to our guest, our friend and colleague, and host of our own show on weekends.
So fun.
We want to remind you that our multi-state text win Go for the Green and Gold contest is underway right now. So grab your phone, open up the Civic Media app. That is the only way to enter.
Yes.
You have to have the Civic Media app. Not going to cost you any money.
No.
It's completely free.
Correct.
So open up your Civic Media app, text in the word YARD, Y-A-R-D. Text in the word YARD. You're in the running for the daily prize, which is $200 in cash and gold jewelry. And then you're in the running for the grand prize, two club level indoor seats to see Green Bay take on Minnesota November 23rd at noon. We have a gas card to get you there and back. It's worth $1,550.
It's amazing.
It's a pretty nice package.
I think I'm more like, Packer tickets are great. Don't get me wrong. But I will say this. I love the gift card option.
The gas card?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty nice. So text in the word.
Such a nerd.
For so many reasons.
I love a value.
YARD is the word, Y-A-R-D. And by the way, I wanted to say good morning to Brian from Mosinee, who just texted in morning.
Hi, Brian.
Good morning, Brian. And that's not the word, by the way. The word is YARD.
YARD.
Y-A-R-D. Good luck. You have until 10 o'clock, and then your next word coming your way at 11. She is our guest, Dr. Kristen Lierley, host of the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show on weekends. Good morning, my friend. Your phone must have been blowing up yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday, the day before. We were already talking about using Tylenol in pregnancy and whether it was a link to autism, which there is not. Tylenol
right.
in pregnancy does not cause autism. So, I mean, that's been kind of brewing, but to hear that big declaration, to hear Trump stumble through the word acetaminophen, to see the reaction, and then to get all these texts from so many friends who are either pregnant or are living with autism in their family. This has stirred up so much emotion and so many questions and so much conversation. I think people are really starting to see it.
I took that clip that you put out on social media explaining directly about the zero findings of a link between Tylenol and autism. And I put that on a friend's social media post because he was posting about it, of course, agreeing with what you're talking about. And then someone, because there's always someone, comes in going, well, why can't we just allow doctors to blah, blah, blah. And it became into a whole thing. And I just finally said, here is my friend. She is very smart. This is what she's saying, corroborating another doctor's comment, by the way. And I said specifically, this topic is not worth her time. She's got other things to be doing, but now she has to talk about it and talk about something very simple because the president of the United States, not just a dude, got up on the most microphoned podium in the country, maybe the world, and said these words. And the thing that really rocked me on in the whole clip, Dr. Lierley, is the fact that you have to say now to people, it's not your fault.
I know. That is the worst part because people who have family members who are taking care of friends with autism, They're suffering. They want an answer. And to give them this false hope and to somehow make it seem like it is their fault that they ended up in this situation is just so beyond shameful. And for the president of the United States to say it in the way that he said it, and then to go on and say that pregnant women should just suffer with their pain. I mean, you don't want them to have birth control. You don't want them to have abortions. You want them to get pregnant, but you don't want them to have the things that they need to be able to navigate their pregnancies safely, including hospitals in rural areas where they can deliver their babies. I mean, you've got to be kidding me.
That really jumped out at me too, Dr. Lyerly, when he said, if you can't tough it out, essentially, if you're not tough enough to deal with your discomfort, then okay, I guess you can take it. Kind of indicting pregnant women for not being tough enough. We're not being tough enough. Even though other Republicans have said it requires no special gifts to give birth.
Right. Or they think as soon as the baby comes out, like the pregnancy is over.
Everything's not back to normal.
No, it takes a year to recover. It's just, it's shameful. Yeah. You know, it's... There just aren't that many things that people can use in pregnancy to manage pain. And this is something that we've used forever. And most people use it at some point in their pregnancy. So for him to do this and to put pregnant women in a situation where they're always thinking about, should I put this in my body? Should I eat this? Should I take this medicine? Should I treat this condition? And they often don't want to even treat things like blood pressure problems because they're worried that the medicine that they take is going to cause problems for their baby. When in reality, high blood pressure causes many more problems.
Yep.
Yes. So women have to have the information that they need, and they need to be encouraged to take the right medications that they need to treat their conditions. And that is exactly the opposite of what Donald Trump and RFK were saying.
Well, and again, neither of them are doctors. They're not even medical researchers. They're two dudes.
Yeah. With a political agenda. With an agenda.
Yes.
And the comments that people have made on that post, which has gotten like 115,000 views. I mean, it was really popular. Some of the comments where people were questioning the data, or they would say, well, did you see the Harvard study? Well, did you see all the studies? You can't just cherry pick one thing or another. One study does not make a medical movement.
Right.
If they can get the name of one study or name a college or a university or something, when they say check theirs, it's like, do you know what you're really talking about right now? Do you understand what you're doing? Because you are trying to now, because someone else will hear these words and they won't research it. They'll just say, well, I know Harvard's a smart place and they said study. So I'll just say Harvard study and they'll know what I'm talking about.
If you're just joining us, by the way, Dr. Kristen Lyerly is our guest. She's the host of the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show in Green Bay on weekends. And we're talking about Donald Trump and Bob Jr.'s announcements yesterday. Don't take Tylenol. We have a compilation. Yeah.
Courtesy of Jimmy Kimmel, actually.
Compilation courtesy of the Kimmel Show.
If you want to, here's a basic summation of the entire speech they gave earlier this week from the White House regarding this topic. Calvin, will you play that, please?
Don't take Tylenol. Don't take it. With Tylenol, don't take it. Don't take it. Don't use Tylenol. Don't take Tylenol. Don't take Tylenol. Fight like hell not to take it.
There it is.
I think you shouldn't take it. Don't take Tylenol. The baby goes, gets a shot. They say, here, take a drop of Tylenol. I've heard that for years. Take Tylenol. Don't take Tylenol. Don't have your baby take Tylenol. Don't give Tylenol to the baby. Don't give Tylenol to the baby. Don't give your baby Tylenol. Don't take Tylenol. Don't take Tylenol. Don't take Tylenol. Don't take it. Don't take it. So that's it. There's nothing much to say. Don't take Tylenol. Just don't take it. And I just say it again. Don't take Tylenol. Don't take it.
That sums it up, what he just said there. Either. There's nothing left to say.
Yeah,
there was
it.
Nothing to say to begin with.
Yeah, that's it.
Grandpa, it's time for bed.
Yeah, exactly. And the other important piece of this that I think is getting skipped over. So the alternative now that they're suggesting, this Leucovorin. Leucovorin contains a folic acid, from what I understand. This is being sold by a company that Dr. Oz has stake in.
I don't know about that, but I can tell you that the data is not there for leucovorin. So this is another whole entire problem. The data is not there. We are years away from being able to recommend leucovorin. And the data at this point only supports that it treats a particular symptom in a certain subset of people with autism. But they're selling it like if you have autism, they're almost selling it like a cure, like a snake oil. But it's not there, guys. And the fact that they're making it available to people who have Medicaid and it's going to be something that you can get your hands on, it's not there. This is false hope and it's not fair.
And isn't it? It's like supplements. It's a St. John's wort. It's the same thing as those kinds of things. Is that correct?
It's not. It is a B vitamin, so it sounds like it's a supplement, but it's actually something that we use in chemotherapy to treat methotrexate overdoses. I've never used it in my practice because it is there's some very particular uses, but it's not like a multivitamin that you can just buy over the counter. You do need a prescription for it.
But again, I think it's important to note, at least from what I was finding yesterday, Dr. Oz, who is now part of our health system, is part of a group that owns this drug.
Well, and also speaking of Dr. Oz, 24 hours ago, and this was reported in, I'm looking at YouTube, Yahoo News, he walked the statement from President Trump back.
Oh, he did.
And he said, quote, "We know that people who take Tylenol for prolonged periods of time during pregnancy seem to have a higher incidence of autism in aggregate." I don't know what that means. What? Show me the study on that one, Doc. So the message is not never take Tylenol. It's take Tylenol judiciously. Take it by talking with your doctor. Make sure that you have an important reason to take. Important reason is pain. Because of pain, don't take it. Hey, this is the words of a doctor. Don't take it willy-nilly because you think it's so safe. It couldn't possibly cause a problem because those assumptions appear to be erroneous. That statement just wrapped in tons of research and data, doctor. I don't even know how we're talking about this. He's right. We're wrong. Let's take some supplements.
But isn't that the advice that you would give any patient, Dr. Lyerly, is take it sparingly, right? Nobody's like, yes, take as many drugs as you can ingest. No doctor is telling you that, or are they?
And talk to your doctor about it so that you can personalize your care. But you know what you said, Greg, I think is really important because this is what they did with leucovorin. This is what they're doing with these Tylenol studies. They find something that has a grain of truth to it. And you know, when you look at all the Tylenol studies out there, there are some studies that show that there is an association between taking Tylenol in pregnancy and autism. And that is true. And there are other studies that show that there is not an association, including a recent study in the Journal of the American Medical Association that was huge. So the association is a maybe, but association does not mean causation.
Right.
It does not mean that Tylenol in pregnancy causes autism. It's like saying eating ice cream is associated with drowning. Eating ice cream doesn't make you drown. You just eat ice cream when it's warmer out and you also go swimming more often. So they take that confusing piece of information that a lot of people who aren't in the science world and can't parse out the studies because they don't have the background, and they use it to politicize it and benefit from it. And it's wrong.
I also think it's important. VAERS keeps coming up. It's VAERS, VAERS. Ron Johnson cited it yesterday because now he's still pushing the horse medication and talking about all the reports on VAERS. I could go to the VAERS website and report that I drank orange juice and I grew a unicorn horn. I could. And
yes.
Because there is no checkup on those reports to VAERS, correct?
And there shouldn't be. And there shouldn't be because it is meant to be an open database where people can report whatever their adverse effects are. And then they take that information and look into it.
I'm going to do that right after the show. It's getting in the way of my headphones, this unicorn horn. It's just not very useful. We're going to continue our conversation with Dr. Kristen Lyerly on the other side. If you have questions, 855-752-4842. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close.
Matt and Air on Air is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 9 to 11. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at Civic Media. As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night.
This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This sandwich, it's a complete game changer. Hello, this is Mike, and a little thing I love about the Chick-fil-A Pretzel Cheddar Club is that juicy chicken with that toasty pretzel bun. That bun, it's crispy, cozy, just amazing. With the pretzel bun, the Dijon mustard, and the chicken, it makes that sweet, savory kind of combination. It's everything that you love about food rolled into one. It looks phenomenal. It tastes great. It's delicious.
Order the Pretzel Cheddar Club with Cherry Berry and Sprite for a limited time on the Chick-fil-A app. Real guests paid for their testimonial.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Maine voters decide November 4th whether adding more ID and mail-in voting restrictions for most voters justifies preventing almost non-existent voter fraud. Question 1 tightens voter ID requirements and adds hurdles for mail-in voters, including the elderly and disabled, despite only 2 voter fraud convictions since 1982. About half of Maine's over 842,000 2024 voters used a mail-in ballot, and over 16,000 subscribed to an ongoing absentee voter list, according to the state's September 2025 figures. If approved, Question 1 would eliminate the absentee list and prohibit requesting an absentee application by phone. It also prohibits third parties from delivering absentee ballot applications, including family members, and limits drop boxes. Maine's population is the oldest in the U.S., with 21.8% of residents over 65. Question 1 also narrows Maine's voter ID options, eliminating student IDs, tribal IDs, and other currently acceptable documents, despite no evidence of abuse. At almost 75%, Maine consistently has one of the highest voter turnouts in the country, and the Heritage Foundation's own figures show just 2 convictions for voter fraud in over 40 years. We have the text of Question 1 at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. The Army National Guard has taught me the value of showing respect to those I come in contact with each day. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed and accomplish the mission. Plus, the Army National Guard education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn how you too can live and serve part-time, close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
And last but not least on the Civic Media Spotlight, we move to Valley Focus with Lisa Hale. Ava Engel, the executive director of the Oshkosh Area Humane Society, joins Lisa to discuss the success of the Walk for the Animals fundraising event and the Gray Muzzle Grant the shelter has received for medical care for senior animals. Tune in.
For WISS, I'm Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief Lisa Hale, and today I'm joined by Ava Engel, who is the Executive Director of the Oshkosh Area Humane Society. Hi, Ava.
Hello.
We have got to talk about the Walk for the Animals. You guys had a very successful fundraising event this month in September. So tell me a little bit of how that went.
Oh, Lisa, it went really, really well. We had, this whole campaign around our Walk for the Animals is something that we start planning on early on in the summer. And we're raising funds for our medical care because every animal that comes into the shelter gets medical care. So it's not just the ones that are sick. Every single one gets microchipped, vaccinated. And of course, those that need medical care, additional medical care, receive that as well. So we fundraise every year. And this year we had a goal set that was a record high goal of $65,000. And I'm super thrilled to tell you that we exceeded our goal. Our preliminary final fundraising total is $68,400.
Nice. Mm-hmm. That is amazing. So you met your goal and exceeded it by over $3,000. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. So I know there were a lot of people that helped you put this together and came together to work for the animals. Can you tell a little bit about the volunteers and stuff?
Oh, absolutely. And it's our staff are really focused on this event as well and planning it out. And then we always need volunteers to, well, first off, to distribute the signs, put up signs so people know that we're doing the walk for the animals. Our volunteers help us fundraise through pledges from their friends and family. And then, of course, at the event itself, we have so many different booths and activities for kids, and we always need volunteers to help with that.
So this is something that if you didn't get to help out this year, because it's past this year and mm-hmm. you've done such a good job, maybe next year, if somebody really wants to get involved and help, they could.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I would just urge them to sign up pretty early if they are not a current volunteer, because we send out to current volunteers our asks to see who is interested in helping. But if they are not a volunteer yet, they can apply. I would probably urge doing that in the spring and just upfront identify that you'd be very interested in helping with the walk. It's a lot of fun. So definitely we are super excited to welcome anyone.
Absolutely. So that event, fantastic event. You've mm-hmm. raised a lot of money. And I do want to go back and mention that this is all, as you said, for medical care for the mm-hmm. pets. And I think maybe people don't think about that each animal that comes through, you don't know their vaccination history. So they all have to be vaccinated.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You don't know their medical history. So they have to be looked over. They have to be mm-hmm. assessed. Mm-hmm. Some of them need dental work.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes.
Some have injuries. Some mm-hmm. have upper respiratory infections, mm-hmm. kennel cough, all sorts of different
chronic
things.
Conditions as yeah. well. Diabetes, kidney issue. Yes, various chronic conditions too. Mm-hmm.
And this money all goes to help pay for those.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Medical care is expensive. Medical and surgical supplies have become much more expensive. So of course that cost increases year over year.
Pets get older.
They do.
And mm-hmm. as they get older, they sometimes run into different problems. The older the animal, the more likely they are to have dental problems.
Just like
problems.
Human beings. Just like human beings, yes.
Exactly. Really. You know, I have a very old Chihuahua. He's about, we figure, 14, 15 years old. And I can see on some mornings that he's just slow mm-hmm. and doesn't feel good. And I'm like, dude, I'm right there with you.
Yeah, right, I know exactly what you're talking about.
So these older pups and these older cats and older even bunnies and whatnot mm-hmm, that you guys mm-hmm. get, the Oshkosh Area Humane Society recently got a grant.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did for specifically for medical care for senior animals.
And it was the gray muzzle grant,
yes,
I think is what it was
yes,
called.
And we do special blood work for our seniors. And so especially for dogs, if we're looking at what is a senior, so it's really 7 years plus. Mm-hmm. And there are so many animals that come in at that age that either come in as strays where we can as best guesstimate how old the animal is. But we also get a lot of surrenders due to the hardships right now, financial hardships out there. So for those animals that we know are elderly and they have a birthday, so to speak, all of those get the senior care as well. Mm-hmm.
And this gray muzzle grant, how much of a grant did you guys get? Do you know?
We get $11,000.
Well, that's mm-hmm. still, that mm-hmm. helps a lot.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And many of these seniors also need dental care. And as you know, dental care, those are long procedures. So yeah. it takes our veterinarian quite some time to go through those and it pays for that. So we're extremely grateful. They are wonderful, wonderful partners for us.
Do you guys do anything special to adopt out the elderly animals that you might have at the Oshkosh Area Humane Society?
We do. We try to focus a lot of our marketing and kind of social media exposure on these seniors, because seniors really make wonderful, wonderful pets. They really do. And so it's promoting them in social media. We also, a lot of times, we have very low to no adoption costs on these senior animals. We also have a lot of times folks who sponsor adoption fees. For dogs specifically, our cats don't have adoption fees at all. Regardless of age, all we ask for is that the adopter pay for microchip and for the vaccine. But other than that, we really, we do not have adoption costs for cats. But for dogs, we do. And these senior dogs, a lot of the time we have the fees sponsored by somebody, a donor or an organization. And I want to give specifically a shout out to Pete's Garage. Bar, who now are sponsoring adoption fees and food and toys for many of our long-termers. So they are wonderful to work with.
And they absolutely, you got to give Pete's Garage props for anything.
Yes,
I just
absolutely
love them. They're, yep, they're so irreverent and just so much fun in the community, but they really care about
oh,
the community.
Absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely. We're so grateful. Like, I couldn't tell you enough.
So if somebody is interested in adopting a senior mm-hmm. pet or helping out at the shelter, where do they go? What can they do?
They can go to our website, oahs.org. And they can see the volunteer opportunities and the available animals. And we always list the age of the animal as well. Or if they have very specific questions, they can always email to info@oahs.org. And then I'm typically the one who is addressing all those emails, and I can direct them to the right person.
Absolutely. Yava Engel, thank you so much for joining me today. It's always a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. Love coming here.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Matt Piper. Oregon is suing the Trump administration. The state's attorney general, speaking moments ago, says it's over what he calls the unlawful deployment of 200 Oregon National Guard members to Portland. There's still no word on when those troops could be deployed, but it comes as immigration enforcement agents in Chicago were seen making arrests.
Julie, a Chicago resident, says she watched as agents detained a mother and child with a crowd of people.
Why are we all standing here not yelling and screaming? Why are we standing here just watching? We're afraid. We don't want to get dragged in either, right? But I'm horrified at us.
Customs and Border Protection Chief Gregory Bovino says it's part of an ongoing operation.
This is a normal enforcement action for the U.S. Border Patrol.
Mallory Vorbroker for CBS News, Chicago.
In Michigan, police say a gunman rammed a pickup truck into the front door of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in Grand Blanc Township.